The following program is paid for by Edge Construction and does not reflect the views or opinions of Good Karma Brands or ESPN Madison. Now that we've hammered that out, let's get to work. From the Everlight Solar Studio, this is the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand. Here's Jim Rutledge.
Welcome into the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app. I'm Jim Rutledge alongside Mike Tuig from Edge Construction. Give Mike a call at 608-636-3343. You can go to edgeconstructioncompany.com to browse the work and read reviews, and go to Howe's Facebook and Instagram to see more of their work as well. And today we're going to be talking about questions to ask a home remodeler before you meet. But and I know sometimes these shows are taped and they are back, and this is going to sound weird if it's airing in the summer. But this sort of weather, so it's right now it's negative 45 is the wind chill that could be coming through. Right. And I know that you've talked before, you have guys that like to work outside, and most of your work is indoors. But when you're doing home remodeling, it could be a whole home remodel, it could be an addition, there is some outdoor work. So where's that temperature line of it's just not effective, or it's kind of pointless to be working outside?
Yeah, if you get below 10 below zero, actually your air hoses coming from your compressor start to freeze up.
Oh, geez.
And we can put the compressor in a trailer. We have a heater in there that keeps that running, but they actually have antifreeze you can pour in there that goes out through the lines and keeps things from freezing. But you get below 10 below, and it's like no fun anymore. So we actually started a remodel this week, and you know, if 5-10 years ago, if you just said, well, what is all your work? We do maybe a few additions a year. Most of our stuff is inside, a lot of kitchens, baths, and just interior remodeling. And but I don't know what's happened in the last year and a half or so, but it seems like now we're doing additions all the time. This one, we have just a very small addition. It's that part's all ready. So and then a bunch of inside work. So we're able to pull our outside crews to help us for a few days. Which I was sort of hoping would happen, actually, because that's that kind of horsepower is really valuable for us to be able to bring that crew that's used to working together and help us out on our side, on the remodel side. If they're not doing that, they're actually building houses, framing houses for other builders. And so they're used to that hard work. It's like a vacation when they get to come inside with us.
So talk about that, though. Like, how does it affect, like, for new builds? I know you do the framing, and obviously maybe a couple houses a year at the most you guys will build. How does this cold affect that? Like, how do you keep the job safe, or, like, the actual
wood hard.
And the work and everything? Yeah.
So we had we have those big forklifts with a basket on it, so guys can stand up in there. Those machines won't run when it gets really cold. I don't like our guys working off of ladders on things like that, because, you know, one slip and we have a problem. At some point it just takes so much longer to do things that it's not effective. So, like this week, Monday was, I think it was a high of 10 below or something.
Right.
Our guys stayed home. We were able to keep them busy all the rest of the days of the week. It's very tough. I think our crews will keep working when others won't. You know, like I look out the neighborhoods, there's a lot of times where I see our guys out there working and nobody else is working. They like to get paid. They want, you know, no in construction, the saying is no work, no pay. So they'll get out there, and I think they'd rather do that, to be honest, than sit at home. It was funny because a couple weeks ago when it was warm and muddy. I don't know if you remember this,
It
warmed up to like 40 degrees. I heard lots of complaining, and they were all saying they'd rather work when it's colder. They got their wish this week.
Yeah,
man,
no
it's cold.
Kidding. Yeah. Careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
Today we're going to talk about questions to ask a home remodeler before you meet. And, you know, this is a good one because, like, for example, the show that streams, you can listen to a lot of different places. You might be hear Mike talk, and you're like, I want to have Mike do this. And you might not realize that, obviously, you'd love to do work for anyone anywhere, but one of the questions you should be asking is, like, am I in an area where you work?
Yeah. We actually get a lot of calls from where your parents are over there, Milwaukee, Waukesha, in that area. And we used to do work over there, not remodeling work, but we'd frame houses for other builders over there and trim them. And the builders over there, everything is really spread out. So, like, builders there work from West Bend to Oconomowoc to Racine.
And that's
really common.
You know, that's a good mile. I'm trying to think of a
hours.
Local comp. Yeah, it's a while, yeah.
And you know, in Dane County, we're within 15 minutes of almost everywhere. So we get really spoiled working here. We do get into like, we won't go probably to Oconomowoc, but we'll head out towards like where I'm from, Lake Mills and Jefferson and that part of Jefferson County. We'll do that. And Edgerton, we've done stuff down there quite a bit. We're a little spoiled here. Dane County is just, everything's compact and it's still kind of small towny, even though it's a, you know, it's our big town, but, everything's close and nice. But yeah, I think that would be the first conversation, when people call in from Fall River, we go, oh boy, I mean, that's a lot of road time that we've got to figure in. And it's not that we don't want to do those jobs. It's just not very efficient for us. And we have to think about our subcontractors too. Like those people that are used to working with us, they have the same problem, right? Like they're spoiled. Everything's close. And when we go, we stray out of the path.
Yeah.
Can we talk them into going where we need them to go? Our plumbers and heating people.
Yeah. So, cause like, I'm sure, I don't want to say exceptions, but at some point, like you said, you might be willing to stretch, or maybe you've talked to your subcontractors and there's a point, but they're, like you talked about, it's not a like a punishment cost, but like you have to account for the drive and all of that. So that cuts into work time. It could extend the overall work. So at some point for you and the homeowner is that math where you're like, it's not worth their money and time because you can't, not only is it a long drive to get out there and you have to charge them for that, but then you can only work for so long. And so like at some point there is, it's kind of more of like the efficiency standard, more than anything else.
We got talked into, a remodel in, it was outside of Wausau. So it's like, a couple hours. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, it started off with, somebody that used to live down here and I think we actually did a remodel for them before they moved up there. So they were used to our process and our designs and thing. They really like our design side. And I said, no, we don't want to go up there. And they said, well, will you at least design it for us? And so we did. And then about 6 months later, they called and said, listen, we can't find anybody that we trust to do this up here. And I said, all right, if you do this where we can start in, you know, first week in December, and it'll span the holidays, and it's a traditionally a little bit slower time.
Yeah.
We'll figure out how to do it. I don't want to do that every year. It went really great and everything was fine, but it's really tough on your people to send them that far.
Yeah, because I mean, even the time it's slower, it's -45 right now. So making that
it's
drive,
probably it's colder up there,
right? Yeah, so yeah, I'm sure it is. So I think that's just all things to kind of factor in. But again, a lot of it has to just do with the actual. At some point, it's not worth the homeowner's time, no matter how much they like edge their money. Because
we want to be fair to them, but if we got to figure 30% of our time is going to spent driving, that's pretty significant.
Yeah,
right?
And it's still time. Like it's still like time they could be doing something else. Like it's not like a tax on that. It's just how it goes. One of the other things here is I think is worth talking about is like how much of an expert are you on said job? I would say, well, first, what are the five jobs you do the most of? I guess I'll ask for you guys. Obviously, you've been around long enough that you have people that can do everything, but I would imagine there's probably like five types of jobs you get to call the most on.
I mean, I always have done a little bit of remodeling when I kind of really got rolling, maybe 15 years ago, maybe a little bit more than that. We didn't have the staff we have, right? Like we didn't have the horsepower. We didn't have the design staff. So I stuck to the simpler stuff. I stuck to kitchens and baths and sort of interior things. And I would say we really specialized in that. Like we got really good at that. Even when we added the design staff and we added an architect and we added all this, we had all these parts of the puzzle. It was still important to me to get really, to dial in on that stuff, to really get good at that stuff before we ventured out. Back at that, even up until about 10 years ago, there weren't a lot of additions because if you wanted to find a different house, you could just like go online or drive around and find one. I think what's driving the more complicated projects now are that people can't just trade this house for the move-up house, right? Like the next one. You got lucky on your place.
We did, yep.
But you know, if you had to do that again, that'd be a pretty tough job to do.
Yeah, no, I couldn't imagine. So. It's one of those things where you want to walk that balance of like, hey, if it's especially the more complicated the job, more you really want to look into how experience, but also just falling back on the horsepower there, the ability to get it done. And obviously we'll talk about timelines and we've talked about it plenty on the show, but the ability to get it done in an efficient manner, the more horsepower and the more experience someone has doing it, it's not even the quality of work. It's just the efficiency of knowing where, for lack of a term, the bodies are buried and how to get everything done efficiently.
I mean, there's a lot of, not a lot, but there's some remodelers in town that will sign a job. They'll bid a job, sign a job, something complicated. In addition, they're good at the design side, but they don't have the staff around to do that. And they've got to go out and find subcontractors. And we'll get calls, hey, would you help us out on this remodel? And I used to do that, right? Like, because it was good filling for our people. Now we don't have to do that. And I suppose you could look at, like, you'd be helping your competition. But I don't, if I was a homeowner, I wouldn't love that, right? Like, I'm working with this designer. They really like what I like what they're doing, but they really don't have the capability to do this job. Now they've got to go out and sort of shop around and find other businesses to supplement what they can do and get these things done. So I think it's really good when a company can grow organically and add these pieces of the puzzle. You know, like we have our master electrician, we do drywall, we do tile and those things. That didn't happen right away. Like, that happened over time. So that I would be trying to, you know, if it was my kid looking for a remodel in a different city, I'd be going, well, you figure out what they're good at, right? When times get a little tougher, like for our business, like the last year or two with the interest rates and, you know, uncertainty in the economy, you start seeing pickups on the Beltline, right? And the sign on the side says they do decks, yeah, and they can build houses and everything in between. And it's like, well, okay. I mean, maybe you can do that. Yeah. That's possible. But, you know, it'd be rare, I think, if you're able to be great at all those things.
I just think of like a pitcher. Like, you know, the pitcher, like, usually they got like three pitches, you know, fastball, curveball, changeup. And then it's like, well, I got this other one that I can sometimes throw for a strike, and sometimes it's way outside.
So I can throw up with my other hand, too.
Right. Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of things I can do in theory, but what am I good at? We'll continue the conversation on the other side. This is the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
You're spending your Sunday morning with the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Welcome back to the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Jim Rutledge with Mike Tuig from Edge Construction. Give Mike a call at 608-636-3343. You can go to edgeconstructioncompany.com to browse the work and read reviews. You can go to Howe's Facebook and Instagram to see more of their work as well. And we are talking through questions you should be asking your home remodeler before you meet, or at least before you get started. And this one's harder to answer, I think, obviously, before you meet. So I think a lot of these we'll just talk about before you get rolling here. But it's, can you work on my timeline? And timelines are very, like, very interesting thing, because I think you see things on TV and it turns quickly, and you hear big, like, name brand remodeling places, and they're all like, we can do this in a day.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, why would it take them a day and take you 4 months? And, like, there's a reason, a good reason. So how much of, like, that timeline stuff with home remodeling, especially if it's the first time someone's done one, is almost education on, like, hey, anyone you're calling that's good is going to have a timeline, and they should be giving you a pretty set timeline too.
Yes. I think, like, so for homeowners, even on our first visit, that's one of the first questions. Okay, when can you start? Like, do we have to secure a spot for you?
And you know, because it's like, for a homeowner, they've been waiting and waiting and waiting, probably saving the money or getting themselves in a position, or this whatever they want to get remodeled has just gotten to the point where, like, I can't handle it anymore. So they want to get started immediately, because in their mind, they're like, we are ready. It's like, great. We will be ready when we're ready.
How would you – right, if you have a project that's like something normal, right, a kitchen or a bath – like I always say, our projects spend about as much time in design as they do in construction. So if a master bathroom model, something comprehensive, is going to take a couple months, that's probably how long it's going to take for you to, you know, decide on if we're changing layouts. And you know, a lot of times we're opening things up and changing rooms. And then we've got to, you know, go through that selection process, yeah, right, where you come in and you start picking things up. And That just, it doesn't happen in a day, and I always say there's something called reaction time, where You take things home, and you, I know you went through that process, and you look at it in your house, and maybe the product looks a little different than you thought in our showroom. The lighting's different or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think it's for us, homeowners set that pace, right? We just know that it takes about that long. I mean, even if somebody says, I'm super decisive, I already know what I want, we also know kind of once you get into it, your mind will change a little bit, right?
Also, it's not, and we went through the process, and I will say this, that to your point, it goes really at the pace that you, the homeowner, wants to go at. There's never a time where I'm waiting on a response from Edge or waiting on anything. It's more of you guys are waiting on us.
But we don't want to push you.
Right, you're not, and you're not pushing. You're never like following up like, hey, where is this? It's more of like, you know, whenever we're ready to get back to you, we get back to you. Because I think people forget, it's like, you also have lives, like the homeowner have lives and day jobs. So like sometimes you get home and be like, tomorrow I'll figure out what tile I want to pick, you know? And so like, I think that's what you guys account for is real life and the idea that if you were the homeowner, at least early in the process, you are part of the design. And it's kind of a side hustle of yourself to work with Edge to get everything up and running. Once everything's up and running and you guys are doing the remodel, then you're actually able to check out more as a homeowner because now everything's in place. But initially, like, you're a part of the process.
Pretty involved.
Yeah.
And so we're also not restricting your choices, right?
Right, yeah.
Like, so if I wanted the design process to go super fast or, you know, like, I don't know if we'd, you know, I'm not signing up for that bath in a day thing because I just don't believe in the process and I've seen too many of them. The choices are very restrictive. You can't offer all the options, right? You can't offer – everything can't be on the table if you're going to do it super fast like that. You're in and out. Also, you probably can't inspect things and you can't, you know, there's a lot of things that I have questions on. If it's you get through this process, write a contract, and then we order things, right? Now, we don't necessarily want to start your project, even though it's under contract, until some of that stuff rolls in, right? Like, we want to have – some of the key things in our hands before we start, because the temptation is to get, you know, remodelers like to get rolling because, and builders, because it gets the money flowing. But if there's a hold up on a supply item, now all of a sudden that job is sitting there and it's like, well, this isn't very efficient. So it's not good for us either, by the way. It's not good for a homeowner if their project is sitting. It's not good for us either. So
well, there also could be things that are shipped that are damaged. Like, and so like, even if in the best scenarios and things came quickly, you might have a hold up. So in this case, it's like, well, let's have it all in house because then we can solve all these problems ahead of time.
So if you're going to pick a remodeler just based on timeline and somebody comes in and says, I can start tomorrow. I mean, that's never the case with us. I think somewhat because, and I don't even think that's healthy, by the way. I think you need to go through this process. You're going to end up making the best choices. It's part of the process is going through this design process. And so when somebody comes in and says, I would be pretty skeptical, right? Like, well, why don't you have any work? Like,
right.
I mean, even in slow times, good contractors have work. And so you have to fit things in. Before the interest rates skyrocketed, we had like more than a year backup. I didn't like that. That was not, I don't feel like that was healthy. Homeowners didn't enjoy that with us either. I mean, they had to wait. But now we have a really healthy, probably, I don't know, we're probably 4 or 5, 6 months out. And it's working really well because we're Now projects can start, you know, pretty much when the materials show up. So this is a good time to be remodeling. Like, it's we're noticing a big ramp up here all of a sudden lately in inquiries. And I was going to touch back too on the additions as far as like the timeline.
Yeah.
Because this is one reason I sort of held off on them, or we did them sparingly until maybe, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago. Because the initial bidding process for somebody like us, we've got to design that addition. We've got to pick out what we you know where we think it's going. Right, we've got to when we do our first budget, we input real products. Like, we go, okay, this is where either we think this project's going to end up selection wise, or this is what most people end up picking. And so we're trying to come up with as realistic a budget as possible. On the additions, that takes longer. Even our first go round takes like 4 weeks because, you know, drawing it, we want to get our minds around the project, right? Like, I don't want to look at it, listen to ideas, draw it the next day and go, okay, this is our best idea. I want some time to think about it and get used to this project too. So it's quite an investment for somebody in our position to even have first look at an addition or some or a project that is that complicated. So timeline, it really affects the timeline. When we're doing a whole house remodel or an addition, we've had some of those projects spend a year in design, you know, depending on how much people want to change their houses, right? If we're moving load-bearing stuff and we've got to figure out how to route mechanicals, and that takes a lot of thought in order to come up with an accurate contract and accurate drawings, so that at the end, you know, we stick to our contracted price, right? So the better planners we are, the easier that, you know, that is for us to do.
And so I think it also allows for, like you talked about, like when you're planning things out, there is not, obviously nothing can be certain, but it just allows the homeowner to have a better feel for when things are going to end too.
Oh,
and
right.
I think that is important for people to understand that ideally, I mean, I know your standard is to have there's a deadline in there. There's some sort of date where it's like, this is what we're shooting for, this is what we're targeting for. And even in the scope of work, along the way, it gives you benchmarks of how long things should be taking. Okay. And obviously, conversation things come up, but I think that's very reassuring for a homeowner.
Yeah, and so I'll give you the lowdown on timelines for remodels. I don't know that there's any remodeler that will give you a firm end date, like with a penalty.
Right.
I actually used to do this. It was stupid. I mean, because there are some uncertainties, right? And I guess I started looking at it and said, listen, this is a lot of risk to take for a remodeler, because if I'm going to stick to my contracted price and a surprise shows up and that means we're going to eat it, and I didn't foresee this, those things do affect the timeline. And so we can be hurt in two ways, right? Now, if I suppose you could turn around and say, well, okay, we'll do that. And if we finish a month early, how about we,
right, yeah,
does
yeah,
this
yeah.
work the other way? Well, I wouldn't expect a homeowner to do that either. So, but yeah, when you sign a contract, right, I've taken lots of classes on this. I'm not a lawyer. I don't pretend to be one. But I think there should be some indication of how long the project could take. So like ours, you mentioned goals.
Yeah.
Ours will have a goal in there.
Yeah.
So if our goal is 90 days on a project, that means we have to shoot for 75, really. I mean, that's probably what our schedule is going to be, because, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. So why do you need that in there if it's not really a hard number? Well, there are people in our industry that are not great at finishing things, right? We've ran into projects from other remodelers that never got finished. Like a year later, they didn't get finished. And sometimes they want us to finish it. And I'm like, well, listen, let me see your contract. Was there any indication of time? So if I say our goal is 90 days and it takes 150, it's probably not actionable, you know?
Yeah.
You probably go, well, things happened.
Yep.
I can't control everything. But if it's like 500 days, okay, now we have a problem.
I mean,
both ends have a problem. So it is, I think there are a lot of things that make a contract a contract, and one of them is in remodeling and construction should be some kind of goal on timeline. And like you said, it's reassuring for a homeowner too to have something in there, even if they know it could change a little bit, you know, but it's still a good idea.
This is the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
You're spending your Sunday morning with the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Welcome back to the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Jim Rutledge alongside Mike Tuitt. Get a hold of Mike at Edge Construction at 608-636-3343. You can go to edgeconstructioncompany.com to browse their work and read reviews. You can go to House, Facebook, and Instagram to see more of their work. We're talking about questions you should be asking your home remodeler at the start of the process. And the next one here is, and you kind of talked about this before, but what services do you offer? And maybe the question is more of like, what services are you most experienced in? Because you kind of talked about it before. And look, I remember when we started doing this show, you talked about how you almost never did additions or whole home remodels because, one, the value isn't there, but interest rates change, housing market changes. Now it's like, you're right, there is value in a whole home remodel or an addition. And so things change and your expertise changes over time.
Yeah, how would I say that? I always think like when the prices came up, the values came up, houses became worth investing in, right? Which is a really good thing for housing, by the way.
Like, yep.
So when there's a lot of property on the market, the homeowner public, and I'm not saying you're like this or I'm like this, but you sort of feel like you can just dump this house when you're tired of it and find a new one and be happy there. And so, like, are you going to do a really nice remodel on that house that you're not sure if you're going to stay in, you know, or are you going to do something a little more, you know, more like the flippers, right? You're going to give it a paint job. You're going to do what you need to do to get it sold, but you're not necessarily going, okay, I'm going to be here for 30 years. I'm going to do a really good, nice remodel. I'm going to use great products. So the business has changed there. And also, like, when there's property on the market, like there used to be, people just weren't asking us to do additions either, you know. And now it's interesting because there's literally probably half the projects we look at are some kind of addition. And additions aren't, how would I say this, they're not a great buy, to be honest. I mean, like, you need a really good reason to do an addition. They're expensive for the square footage you're gaining. But there's a lot of, you know, we see a lot of houses in Madison. There's a lot of older neighborhoods with great lots. It's just the houses aren't that great. They're smaller. They're you know, they were from a more practical time. I don't know, the 50s and 60s and 70s. And now people are, maybe their situation changed, but they don't want to move even if they could find a new house. So the additions have gotten to be a big thing. But so what services do you offer? If you're going to do additions and you're our business, you better have good designers, right? Because there's a lot of design that has to happen. I don't know if you remember this old house.
Yeah.
And they used to have a magazine. Right? And I always liked reading the magazine because, I don't know, it was a very, I know homeowners looked at it, but there were some really good trade-specific things. Like if there were, it was not an online world, right? So if there was some innovation in mechanicals, in HVAC or in plumbing or whatever, you could sometimes find out about it there. The last page in there was, they called it remodels.
Okay.
Like, you know, remodel gone wrong. And it would usually be like an addition that was just a sore thumb. Like, you know, yeah. You got this beautiful old house and then some dumb looking addition that, you know, and so that has stuck in the back of my head. And so
there are
like
countless social media accounts dedicated to that.
Oh, are there really?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I need to figure that out.
Yeah, because I definitely have consumed those.
I hope we never make those pages.
But it's funny. We all seen it. Like, there's, I won't name the town, but when I drive down to Judah, there's somewhere I drive through, and I'm like, that house has three different types of siding, three different entrances, and I don't know where the original house is or where the other one is.
It's hiding.
And it all, and honestly, looks like they took three boxes and connected them with some tubes. Like, it's almost like a hamster house. And every time we drive by, we're like, why would they do that?
And it doesn't make sense now, but at the time, they must have had a reason.
Yeah, no kidding. So the next.
So what other services? Yeah. You know, I talked about the one end of the scale where a remodeler sells a remodel, but really doesn't do any of the work. They have to hire subcontractors to do everything. And then I would say we're kind of on the other end of that scale where most things for us are in-house. I talked about drywall and the electric side and basically all the carpentry, obviously. We sell countertops and cabinets and the flooring choices, and we take care of all that stuff. So I guess that is a great question because you want to figure out where your remodelers at. Are they just hiring subcontractors? You know, hired guns that are coming in. And I think a more established company generally is probably doing more things in house because you just have more control over the project. So that's a great question.
So, you know, kind of with that, and this is what I was going to try to lead you to, but the next thing when you hear is who handles design and permitting. And we talk about design, talk about it more, but permitting is something that I think, for me, I always use now as like a good clearinghouse. Like I had like a deck put in. It was not something you guys really needed to be bothered for, but I went through a few different people and being like, well, are you going to pull
the permit? Did they pull the permit?
They pulled the permit. Okay. So I kind of made them. They're like, well, I guess we can pull them. I'm like, yeah, I want you to pull the permit. And I wanted them to handle that. And when I had to get, it was a warranty job, but the fence, my house, the I don't know why they warrantied it, but we kind of like that kind of hard plastic sort of fence, but it had a warranty on against fading. We went and it was all faded, so we obviously put a new one in. We had to pay for the labor, which was fine, but when we used the fencing company, I said, like, no, I want you to go ahead and get the warranty because lo and behold, or not the warranty, the permit, because lo and behold, they also cut like two different lines when they were doing it because they were like they said that they did the testing or whatever, but they must not have because they clipped two lines. And luckily, it was a cable and a phone thing, so they came out and fixed it. They didn't charge them for it, but like I was like, this is why I don't want any part of being held accountable for that.
Well, I mean. So we've talked about this before, and you know that a homeowner can pull a permit. You could have pulled your own permit.
Yeah.
And sometimes contractors, when they're trying to get rolling, they don't have the right insurances. They don't have the continuing education, and they haven't jumped through the hoops to get the license to pull the permits. It's not that hard, by the way, but I think it's sort of a absolute minimum of that you should be requiring when you hire somebody to work on your house. There's good reasons to, if you're going to hire somebody, make them pull the permit, right? I always feel like it's an extra layer of responsibility. So if there's a problem, you know, they're going to hit these guys first. And, you know, you're the homeowner. You didn't pull the permit. Contractor pulled the permit. Inspectors are coming after them, not you. If you pull the permit, do your own work. You're subject to all the same inspections and process that we are. On the more complicated projects, I will tell you, it is much harder now to get permits than it used to be. We had one that we finished downtown. I can't remember what. It was about 6 months ago. I was on Dayton Street. And it was a very complicated project on an old house. I mean, I think it took us 7 months just to get the permit. And that's with in-house design, redrawing everything whenever... You know, the plan approval process downtown Madison had a problem. You know, we have to redraw it, and for a homeowner to do that would be very tough. And so, I think that's that relates to that last question: what services do you offer? There are now architectural firms in Madison and bigger cities that have an arm of them that just help people get permits, because architects can sort of subvert that process a little bit. Like if there's I'm going to say an argument or a discussion between myself and the plan approval in Madison, and I'm saying, well, a beam will carry this load and we have no problem here. And they're going, well, we don't believe you. An architect can go, I'm going to stamp it and you have to accept it. I'm not sure that's always the perfect system, but, that's how tough it's gotten to get some of these permits.
So we'll continue the conversation on the other side. This is the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
You're spending your Sunday morning with the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Welcome back to the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Jim Rutledge with Mike Tuig from Edge Construction. Give Mike a call at 608-636-3343. You can go to edgeconstructioncompany.com to browse their work and read reviews. You can go to House, Facebook, and Instagram to see more of their work as well. And we're talking about questions to ask a home remodeler early in the process here. And the next one here is, do you work on a bid basis or a time and materials basis?
Yeah, so this is a good question. For established remodelers are almost always on a bid basis. And there's good reasons, as long as the contract is good, that a homeowner would want this, right? So if you sign a contract with us, it's got a firm price. We also have a reputation of not going beyond that price. Like I run into homeowners every week that did a remodel and got handed a $10,000 bill or more at the end of the job. And if you look at those contracts, there's an out in there for a remodeler. And I'm not saying that we don't cover ourselves. It's just that we have made a decision to stick to our contracted price. And we have, you know, probably about a dozen years of the last years of our career here that we've stuck to that. And so I think you want to do a little digging on that. The time and materials basis, okay, there's another way to call that. In the industry, we call it cost plus. Yep. And that's exactly what it is. I have friends out east that they do all their jobs like this. And I'm like, how do you ever get anybody to sign a contract? Because there's no end game to this contract, right? They might give you a rough idea, you know, this is going to cost $100,000 or something, but when materials show up on Friday and they do a tally of the labor at the end of the week, they put a number on the labor, they use a multiplier on both, and you get a bill Monday morning, and if you don't give a check, work does not proceed. And so it's you know what everything costs, I guess, that's going into the job, but you really don't have an end to this project, right? And I've read horror stories on these where homeowners just get so far they can't finish the project because they thought it was going to be this much. And I always think a homeowner's got to look at the remodeler like they're the expert, right? They're the ones that are doing this every day. And if you got somebody that's really good at it, they're going to be able to guarantee their price and stick to their price. That's probably not something I could have done when I was early in my career, right? It took a lot of experience to get to the point where now I pretty much know. If we're sticking to our price, it's for a good reason, right? We're hitting the number, but that's tough to do when you're less experienced.
The last thing here, or maybe second to last, we'll see. But the next one to talk about is basically getting budgets from the homeowner. And then having realistic conversations about what something would cost. Because if I got $10,000, there's maybe only so much I can do in a kitchen. Or maybe I can do something in a bathroom, some countertop replacement, but it's not going to be maybe a full-scale remodel. So like, I think it's worth having that conversation. Again, going back to the idea of these other places are, I can do this in a day, and I can do it for this, or I pay X per month. And I think it's, you know, it's very much you get what you pay for.
Yes, and you touched on financing, which is a whole other thing. It's worse than credit card financing, if believe it or not. It's why we don't offer it, by the way. I just haven't found a company that I felt was a good enough deal for homeowners that we would want to present to them. Okay, on the budget process, when we first show up, we're trying to get some indication of your budget because we don't expect you to hit the number on the head, right? Like you wouldn't necessarily have a benchmark,
right?
As to what it's going to cost. But if somebody calls us and says we want to do an addition and they say, well, their budget's like $50,000, like we can't come out for that because kind of baseline for additions, you know, normal additions is maybe triple that now. Yeah. And I think we do them more reasonably than anybody else that I hear about in town. I mean, probably just because of the resources we have. But I know homeowners are feeling like sometimes, well, I'm not going to tell the car dealer, you know, how much that I can spend $20,000, right? Because the cars they're going to show you are going to be $19,999. I mean, that's... Yeah. But I talked about our design process, even first go around for an addition. We a lot of times have 20 hours in just putting a first price together for that, which we don't, you know, we can't really charge for. So we have to have an honest talk about budget on the more complicated projects, especially kitchens. Okay. Or a bathroom. If somebody doesn't want to tell us where they can go money wise, we'll still go through that first round. But if on the more complicated stuff, we've got to have some talk about this because it's not that we don't want to do the work of that first go around and get to an honest bid. It's that there's got to be some light at the end of the tunnel. I don't know if I'm making sense.
No, you make a ton of sense on that. Yeah. So, I mean, you guys are always very upfront on the cost of things because you just don't want someone else. You don't want the homeowner to put their time and effort into something that is not going to get to where they want it to be, nor do you want you guys to put the time and effort into it. So, like, that's that balance you're trying to walk there of making sure that everyone is investing their time the right way.
Yeah, I myself, I've had this experience. I were we were looking for a car, and we were at a dealer, and they showed us this car. It didn't have a price on it, and it was turned out to be like double what we had to spend. And like, I'm like, there's no way. Even if you're going to borrow me the money, I'm not going to do this. And remodeling, I was mad that my time was wasted.
Yeah.
We don't want to do that either. Your time's valuable. Ours is too, so.
That's a great way to kind of look at it. This has been the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app.